1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Wednesday edition of the program, will Justin Fields start Game 1, a new development in just a moment, plus a brand new interview today with Tom Waddle, the former Bears wide receiver and host of Waddle and Silby on ESPN 1000. We talk with him about the Bears draft, Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, what to expect from them this season, and his amazing NFL career. It's a great interview. And it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful and getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Ryan. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. I was right. I had said days after the Bears drafted Justin Fields, be prepared for a quarterback controversy. Well, everybody was enraptured and so happy about the pick, and they threw Andy Dalton off to the side. I said, does anybody remember Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, and how the whole thing proliferated throughout the offseason? And lasted during the regular season, too. It got annoying, it got old, and yet we had to cover it and had to deal with it week in and week out. Who's going to start? Does Mitch deserve it? Does Nick deserve it? Should they put Mitch back in? What about Nick? Should Tyler Bray play? It got very annoying very quickly. I warned you. I said it. Wait to see what happens here. I said, there will be a quarterback controversy. There will be an issue as to who starts Game 1. There will be factions. There will be divisiveness. And this won't be good for the Bears fan base and for the Bears. And sure enough, now everything's confirmed. A new report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, quote, now Fields is just undeniable. Over the next 3 to 4 months in training camp, we're not just going to sit him for fun or posterity just to play the veteran. So they're going to give him the best chance, but they're okay sitting Fields if Dalton has a good grasp on the job and they feel like they can win with him. So they believe they're going to be better regardless. It just depends on whether Fields is ready week one. Headline of the article, Justin Fields rumors Bears won't sit QB just for fun or posterity to play Dalton. Here we go. If you're a new Bears fan, if you're unaware of the team's quarterback situation over the past 50, 60, 70 years, welcome to Chicago. Glad you're here. Already, at the end of May, quarterback controversy. Last year, when Nick Foles came in, immediately, quarterback controversy. Bears fans are no strangers to this, but it gets redundant to talk about this year in and year out. happening again. Many of you know where I stand on this whole thing. I firmly believe that Justin Fields will be better off sitting to start. No matter what, I want him to sit for at least 4 games. Because there is no sense of urgency. This isn't Jacksonville, New York, where those teams have no quarterbacks besides the guys they drafted. It's like San Francisco. They have Jimmy G. He'll play. Trey Lance will most likely sit all year. Fine. Let him develop. And I know it's different. Trey Lance didn't throw that many passes, didn't play a lot. The idea is still the same. The concept remains the same. It is not worth rushing a rookie quarterback. See, it's different now. See, before, you got away with it. And everybody was very quick to say, he's a bust, goodbye. Move on to the next year, next draft. See what you could do. Now, quarterbacks are a luxury item in the NFL. There's a lot of capital, money, draft picks, all put into this one position. Because today, it's a quarterback-driven league. And everybody knows you can't win without a quarterback. You could be a great team. You could have a great defense, great run game, special teams. Doesn't matter. This isn't 2003 anymore. You're not going to see a Super Bowl with Rich Gannon and Trent Dilfer. It's always going to be top quarterbacks. Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. Bam. That's correct. That's a sign of the time for the NFL. So because they're more integral to a team now, teams are less willing to rush him, to give up on him, because it's a big investment, and it's very serious. So we have to keep that in mind, first of all, when we talk about Fields and this entire situation. This is not 2003. This is 2021. And I see a lot of people basing their logic off the NFL from back then, and not basing it off what the NFL is today and how important the quarterback position is today. That's the issue with this entire thing. It's a fallacy. I'll say it time and time again. I've had former GMs, broadcasters, players, all say, let Fields develop. Don't start in week one. I know the fan base is hungry. I know they want to see success so quickly. They saw the draft and they thought, wow, instant success? No, you may have to wait a year. You heard in my interview with Tom Waddle later on, Nagy and Pace, they bought time with this pick. So they won't be fired at the end of this year. They have time. They've been given a new chance. They have a new quarterback. They will take time to develop him, however long that takes. So you can't sit here and expect everything's going to go well. Playoff team, watch out. Not yet. Now a word from our sponsor, True Classic Tees. Are you tired of boxy t-shirts that just won't get the job done? What about ones that feel too big and uncomfortable? I have that problem a lot. Thanks to True Classic Tees, though, those problems are over. See, I'm wearing one right now. Very comfortable, double stitch for endurance, and custom-made to fit your dimensions. And get this, a portion of every sale goes towards helping homeless vets get off the street. So you're helping out our veterans, and you're buying quality material at a good price. Listeners of this program get a discount to use JON10, that's J-O-N-10, to get 10% off your next purchase. Go to TrueClassicTees.com or find the link in the description of the video. True Classic Tees, top clothing and a good cause. More of what Fowler said, quote, this offseason the Bears addressed their situation and said, look, we've been an 8-8 team. We just need an upgraded quarterback that could get us closer to 10 wins. They felt Andy Dalton did that. They said, hey, we could win 10 games with this guy. He's a slight upgrade at the position, but then they had the chance at Justin Fields. They said, okay, this is the long-term play. That's actually a correct statement and a correct evaluation by Nagy and Pace. Andy Dalton is a marginal upgrade to Mitch Trubisky. Justin Fields has the potential to easily outrank Dalton and Trubisky combined. The potential, key word. If he's brushed, if he's made broken, that's a problem. I know it's Matt Nagy's guy now, so I'm hoping no more sabotage, but that can't be ruled out either. Matt Nagy's a stubborn head coach. He is. And we saw it. He would never let Mitch just do what he wanted to do to win. It would always be conformed to my playbook. How do you think that's going to go down with Justin Fields? It's a quarterback-driven league. I just said that. That is 1980s football thinking. Now, if you don't conform to me, you're out of here. Now it's, I'm a quarterback. If I don't like my coach, I'll demand a trade. I'll leave. I'll find another team. One that will give me creative freedom with the playbook. One that will cater to my strengths and pump up my stats and make me a hell of a player. It's different now. Way different. So my hope is that Matt Nagy can, you know, come to terms with the times that are in the NFL. Even if Justin Fields is undeniable, I recommend then sit him one game or two. Just to be safe. And I know the main argument against that is, well, he learns on the fly. He'll learn better under center. But he could be broken, too. If he has a couple of bad games to start his career, could be broken. Mentally, that'll take a toll. It's not good either. Now, he seems like a stronger kid. He could probably overcome that stuff, but you don't know. NFL, entirely different animal than college. We all know that, too. How many quarterbacks have come up from college, highly touted, never worked out? Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell, Matt Leinart. We could go on and on all day. Jake Locker. I mean, too many to name. Because the NFL's pace of play is different. The talent is different. You're not facing the Big Ten all year or the SEC all year or Pac-12 all year. You're facing quality players from all across the country and the world in some cases. Way different. I'm sorry if I'm not telling you what you want to hear. I'm telling you what you should be hearing. The truth is, no need to rush him. Are the Bears quarterbacks strapped? No. They have Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, two established veterans. I'm not saying they're good, but they're established veterans. They have 10 times more snaps than Justin Fields has had in the NFL. And you could say and you could claim Justin Fields is doing great, winning in training camp, out-competing everybody. I'd say at least sit him for two games, then put him in. Two games, that's it. And if they're winning, by the way, if they're winning with Andy Dalton, don't screw it up. I mentioned this before, that's a problem the Dolphins had last year. Put in Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're winning. Take him out, put in Tua. They're winning, playing 500, take him out, put back in Fitzpatrick, take him out, put back in Tua, and put in Fitzpatrick again. What kind of a mental toll does that take on both guys, but especially Tua, who's young? Very bad. Look at Mitch. I understand, not a talented quarterback, I get it. But mentally, that does take a toll on you. What if that happened to you and your job? Hey there, slugger, we're going to take you out and put in your backup. Go do mop-up duty. And a few weeks later, come back and say, actually, you were better the first time. I made a mistake. For those couple of weeks, you're on the bench, and you've been demoted. How do you think you're going to feel, knowing deep down inside, I'm better? Mentally, it takes a toll. It really does. And I really don't want that to happen to Justin Fields. He's just coming up. He hasn't even tasted the NFL yet. He has no clue what he's getting into, really, from that standpoint. Don't ruin the guy. Come on, please. Really, is this necessary? No. And remember, there is the possibility that Andy Dalton gets hurt in camp. Then Fields would play, probably. Right? Remember Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert this past year. So that could happen. There are a lot of different avenues and ways in which Fields will play. I do believe Fields will play at some point this year. That's a fact. No more sitting him out for a year. That opinion has already morphed into maybe four games at most, he'll sit. And I'm okay with that. I really am. I just don't want him to be rushed. Jacksonville has nothing. Absolutely nothing. No backup, no options. They have to start Lawrence, who, by the way, has never played on a losing team or with so little talent around him. That's an issue. Zach Wilson, BYU, great quarterback. Now he's going to New York, known to be a quarterback breaker. And he'll start week one. How do you think that's going to go? The Bears aren't in that position. This is a good thing. They don't have to start in week one. They have the luxury of Andy Dalton. I know you're probably laughing. Oh, luxury of Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton isn't a luxury. He is in the sense when it comes to developing fields. Dalton is a luxury. Not every team could say, we have an established veteran quarterback. We'll play him first, then we'll put him fields. That makes him a luxury. That makes him a good thing. And the Bears have to remember that. You do too. This is all a positive for the Bears. I like this report in the sense that I do believe it's truthful. I really hope this could be a fair competition. We'll get into that more as the season progresses. I hope it'll be fair and honest. And there won't be any politics or favoritism or whatever it might be. It's a meritocracy. The NFL is a meritocracy. If you prove yourself, if you have enough talent, if you show you have more merit than the guy next to you, you should play. That's it. We saw last year, it wasn't always all about merit. On both sides, Mitch and Nick, the way that whole thing was handled was just a colossal mistake. I don't want to see that again. Bears fans, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear when it comes to this. I firmly believe things will go better this time around. That said, I'll tell you this much. Be patient. Be patient. If Justin Fields is that good, have him play. I'd prefer him sit at least two games. That's it. But if he shows that he's great, play him. And see what happens. My whole point is the Bears don't need to be in that position. They're not desperate. They are desperate in the long haul, but not in the short term. They're not desperate. They have somebody who they could play and serve as a good stopgap. Different than New York or Jacksonville. That's a positive. That's the whole point here. No need to rush him. And I don't think they will. Let him develop on his own. And if he shows a good grasp of everything, let him play. Fine. I could support that. What I can't support is rushing him in, breaking him, taking him back out to put in Dalton again, and then in 2 years' time having Fields being called a bust. Sound familiar? And I know Mitch didn't have as much talent, but the story is similar. That cannot happen. Not again. Happened already once. I've seen enough. Haven't you? Haven't you seen enough of that? I know I have. The Bears have an opportunity to play this correctly. They have the luxury of two veteran quarterbacks and a rookie. They have a chance to develop him correctly, give him the time he needs, be patient with him, and make sure that he works. Because remember, this is a different NFL. The quarterback position is so highly coveted. This is not a Super Bowl of Rich Gannon and Trent Dilfer. This is a Super Bowl of Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Only the superstars make it. So the quarterback position is integral. And if you screw it up again, you'll be a bottom feeder for a long time. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Tom Waddle comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free? Bet on any game you want. Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. SportsTalkChicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Cubs and White Sox are back. NBA playoffs going strong. Same with the NHL. Plus, of course, Bears prop bets. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At SportsTalkChicago.com/cash. SportsTalkChicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and a former Bears wide receiver. Please welcome Tom Waddle to the program. Tom, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me. Hope you're well.
So, Tom, what was your reaction to the Justin Fields pick?
I mean, obviously, I was thrilled. Personally, I'm no quarterback expert, and I don't scout these guys coming out of college, but I thought behind Trevor Lawrence, Justin was the second best quarterback coming into this draft class. So I was thrilled that the Bears were able to make a move and find themselves taking him. I like the way that things transpired. You know, look, there's been a lot of conversation over the last several years about Ryan being impatient and doing some hasty things and ultimately giving up too much for what he was getting. And I thought this time he and Matt Nagy allowed the market to come to them. Things unfolded perfectly, and they stepped in and they did something that I think obviously will bode well for them. And I think it's something that has certainly energized the fan base. So I think the drafting of Justin Fields has provided some enthusiasm for an otherwise pretty bleak prospect for Bears football. I think everybody's opinion and everybody's optimism has probably changed.
How shocking was that shift in attitude among the fan base?
Oh, it's not shocking at all. I mean, we're all fans at heart, and you ride the roller coaster, and, you know, when things are down, you know, nothing's going to go your way. When things are up, nothing can go wrong. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast in the world of sports. So I'm not surprised. I mean, look, I get it. You know, we've been searching for our dream quarterback for a long time, and this is another opportunity to fulfill that wish or to fill that void. So, you're everybody's enemy one day and you're everybody's hero the next. That's just the nature of the beast.
You think Fields is the savior for the Bears?
I wouldn't want to put that kind of pressure on him, John. I think that I feel really good about him. I feel about him the way I felt about Deshaun Watson in just kind of in non-specific terms. Deshaun played on the biggest stage under the brightest lights against the best competition and excelled. And I think you can make the same evaluation of Justin Fields. I don't think he was ever overwhelmed at Ohio State. I think he played exceptionally well in the biggest moments. I think that there should be a lot of optimism. I don't think he'll be overwhelmed, but then you have to look around the league, and over the course of the last 25 plus years, it's just really hard to project whether or not a first round quarterback will turn into that kind of guy. Look back, I think it was 2006 when Jay Cutler was drafted by the Denver Broncos 11th overall. And the two guys drafted ahead of him were Matt Leinart and Vince Young. And neither of those guys panned out. Jay did to a certain degree. So there are no certainties. I do believe that he has a chance to be the guy that leads us out of this quarterback desert. But it's just you just can't put that kind of expectation on anybody. There are just too many variables. But I with that said, I don't want to leave you the impression that I'm skeptical. I'm not. I'm very optimistic. I'm just also a realist when it comes to this game and that position.
Let me ask you this. Is he better today than any quarterback on the roster, knowing he has no NFL reps yet?
Is he better? I think he's got the most talent. I mean, look, Andy Dalton's not a guy that's going to make everybody feel warm and fuzzy. I get it. But Andy Dalton's got a nice career. You know, I mean, Andy – It's hard to be an elite quarterback in this league. I say this to people all the time. Everyone who wants to give the Matthew Staffords of this world or the Matt Ryans or even the Kirk Cousins of this world, oh, these guys can't. Listen, that position is enormously difficult to play. And guys that play it at a high level, you have to acknowledge it. Are they those guys I mentioned elite? No. There's only a couple of elite quarterbacks. You know, there's Aaron Rodgers. There's Tom Brady. When Drew Brees was playing and younger, he was elite. There's Patrick Mahomes, obviously. I think Deshaun Watson's close to that category. And I think Russell Wilson has been there for a long time. So I guess the moral of my story is it's hard to be really, really good at that position. So I give Andy Dalton credit for the career that he's put together. I do believe Justin Fields has got a higher ceiling. Andy helped the Bengals get to 4 or 5 playoff spots, never won a playoff game. But Andy Dalton had a nice career in the NFL. My hope would be that Justin Fields, when all is said and done, will have a more impressive career than Andy Dalton. So I think he's got the most talent. But there are some things that he's going to have to learn along the way.
Tom Waddle here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, should Fields be the game one starter?
I think, John, he'll determine that. I would hate to just, you know, make a blanket statement. Oh, yes. I know some people, people feel strongly that he shouldn't. Some people feel strongly that he should. I think, what is it, June? You know, it's early June. It's June 1st today. So I think it's silly for me to tell you, oh, yes, he has to start. Well, what if he gets to camp and for whatever reason, you know, the acclimation process has taken a little bit longer than they had hoped. Maybe, you know, he doesn't really feel ready to go. Well, then you shouldn't force him into that position. This isn't an Andy Dalton thing to me. Andy will be ready to go week one. To me, it's about Justin Fields. I mean, even if Andy Dalton comes to the preseason and doesn't look good, I don't immediately turn to Fields unless Fields is ready. So to me, it's not an Andy Dalton issue. This is a Justin Fields issue. They're in the catbird seat with regard to when they can play him. I don't think they have to rush him. I do believe that there will be a competition. And I've told anyone who will listen, look, if Justin Fields proves to you by the start of the regular season that he's mastered this offense as much as you can until you've played a regular season game, and he's not overwhelmed in the slightest, I have no problem with him starting. If you don't think he's ready, great. You have an accomplished backup in Andy Dalton that you can trust. You know, there's several paths in this league to getting on the field as a young quarterback. You could take the Russell Wilson path. You know, look, I think they signed Matt Flynn in Seattle to a pretty good free agent contract. We're expecting him to start, and they were going to bring Russell along slowly, and Russell went to camp and beat Matt Flynn out, and he started day one. You know, Patrick Mahomes is a guy that didn't play at all in his rookie season until the last game of the year. In that situation, you know, Alex Smith was having a Pro Bowl caliber season and had a quarterback rating of like 105. So they had the luxury of going that route. I just don't want to, you know, I don't feel the urge to say, no, he has to sit, or yes, he has to play. I think Justin Fields will dictate that.
Are there any benefits in him sitting for the first couple of games and learning off the bench?
I think to see the game from the sidelines sometimes can benefit you. I mean, again, if you're struggling with some of the basics, it's new football. I mean, the language of football is the same, but there's different jargon and, you know, being under center, calling plays in a huddle, getting up at the line of scrimmage, identifying the Mike linebacker, going through all that stuff. It takes a while to get, you know, comfortable with all of that. So, you know, I think that you take your time with it. If you've mastered it, you go ahead. I mean, Kyler Murray started day one for the Arizona Cardinals, and I don't think that he has been negatively affected by starting too early. But can you learn from the sideline? Sure, you can. I mean, ultimately, I think you learn, you know, your best learning experience is actually being under center, but you can learn some things. I mean, it's like e-learning. You know, my kids can, well, they're adults now, but my youngest is 17. Look, she's going to learn better at home on a Zoom call. She's going to learn better at school in the classroom. I think the same is true. You know, the comparison is the Zoom call standing on the sideline you know, the being in the classroom is actually being under center. I think that's where you'll learn most. But yeah, you can see some things. You can get a perspective that that can be beneficial to you.
Do you trust Matt Nagy in developing Fields, especially after how things went these past couple of years with Trubisky?
Well, there's the 64,000 or 64 million or 64 trillion dollar question, however you want to quantify it. I feel better about this relationship than the previous relationship. I've told you in the past, look, I thought it was a relationship he had with Trubisky that didn't work. And the majority of that, in my opinion, goes on the quarterback and the limited skill set. Some of it has to be shouldered, as I told you, by Matt as well, by not putting Mitch in a position to take advantage of what he does best. I thought there were moments where Matt was stubborn and wanted Mitch to play in his system. And I thought that that didn't work out for either guy particularly well at times. This is Matt's pick. I mean, this is human nature. This is not, you know, I'm not telling you something that, you know, Matt's a bad guy and was looking for Mitch to fail. He wasn't, because ultimately his job security is on the line. But Justin is Matt's guy. I think that there will be more buy-in from Matt. I think that there will be more synergy. And I do believe that there will be a better relationship between Matt Nagy and Justin Fields than there was with Matt and Mitch. I think Justin's a better player, first and foremost. I think he's Matt's guy. So naturally, I think A plus B equals C. I think that this will be a better relationship.
That's not a problem to you, right? The fact that this is Matt's guy versus the way things went before with Mitch?
No, I mean, that's not a problem with me. I mean, sure. Like, look, it's, you know, I think this was the beneficial relationship. Like when Matt came in, the quarterback was already here. This,
right.
I would have felt better going back in time if Matt had been the head coach and been part of the evaluation process from the beginning. That wasn't the case. That is the case now. And with that in mind, I think that will create a better environment.
Tom Waddle here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, what about the other draft picks that the Bears made? How would you evaluate the rest of the draft?
Well, I listen, my projection was that they didn't have enough currency to move up and draft a quarterback. I thought they'd try, but I didn't think they would succeed. So my pre-draft prediction was they were going to, at 20, get the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State. So when they were able to move up and get Justin Fields at 11 and then get the kid from Oklahoma State in the second round, I was thrilled. I think that's as good as you could have asked for. I think drafting the other offensive tackle, I believe, from Missouri was also, you need to add depth at that position. I thought that they had a really good, I mean, until we get, look, speaking as a guy that was undrafted and was a free agent heading into camp, it's really hard to tell how guys will eventually project at the next level. I think you focus on the quarterback, you focus on the offensive tackle, you look at the other offensive tackle, and you just kind of hope that the other guys can fill in some gaps. But make no mistake about it, this draft is all about Justin Fields and in some part about Jenkins.
How would you grade Ryan Pace's draft overall if you had to put a letter on it?
I would give this particular draft an A. There's no question. Again, I thought that what they came away with was fantastic. I thought that they allowed the draft to come to them and they were aggressive. Obviously, they moved up in both instances to get their first and second round picks, but I don't think that it had the panic element to it that previous drafts have had. I thought this was by far his best moment inside the draft room. And look, I always say this, John, you change the narrative, and the narrative has been that Matt hasn't done a good job, especially early in the draft. Ryan hasn't done a nice job in the draft, especially in early rounds, and that Matt hasn't developed quarterbacks. Those are fair narratives. And the only way to change those narratives is to change the narrative, as silly as that sounds. Be better at the job. I think Ryan Pace can change the narrative if this draft class turns out to be something special. And I think if Matt can develop Justin Fields, the narrative about him being a quote-unquote quarterback whisperer will change. You change the narrative by changing the narrative. So they've got an opportunity, I think, now, both of them, both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, to change how the NFL universe and the Bears fans feel about them both.
Is a playoff appearance important this year, do you think?
To their job security, I say no. I'm in the minority there. I mean, I said prior to the draft, I didn't think either guy was truly on the hot seat. I've talked to some people that, let's just say, have a lot of knowledge that disagree with me, but I disagree with them. So I still believe there's more job security there than others believe. I don't think – I was talking to a good friend of mine in the industry, and we had this discussion about whether or not Matt and Ryan were on the hot seat, and I said no. He said yes. I said, well, look, you reset the clock to a certain degree when you draft a quarterback. I said, well, what constitutes a good year? I said, what if they're 8-9, but you've played Justin Fields and you feel good about the direction he's going and he's shown you signs? And my friend was like, well, it depends on what the 8-9 looks like. Look, if they're 4-13, there's going to be change. Like if it just goes completely south for any number of reasons, then I'll consent that I was wrong and I'm a football idiot. Anything outside of that, I mean, look, I don't think that guys are on the hot seat the way that other people do. I don't believe that a playoff appearance is necessary for everyone to keep their jobs. You've got a defense that has been very, very good. It is on the decline in certain aspects. Can they turn that around? Yeah. Can they be a top 10 defense? I think they can. But right now you would say it's pointed in the wrong direction. Hopefully the offense is pointed in the right direction. I would pick this team. I'd pick the over. I think in Vegas it's 7.5. I'd take the over, but I'm not here thinking they're a 10-7 or 11-6 team. I think they're an 8-9, 9-8 team at this point. So I don't think getting to the postseason is particularly, I mean, it is important, but I don't think it has to happen. And look, I'm one that also believes that Aaron Rodgers will be back in Green Bay. So that'll make the path more difficult. Look, I think I'm on the wrong end of a lot of these conversations, because I think everyone thinks Aaron Rodgers is gone and everyone thinks Matt and Ryan are on the hot seat. And I don't particularly believe either to be the case.
If Rodgers stays, then what's the difference there between him staying or him not playing for the Bears and their hopes in 2021?
Well, I think that if Rodgers is the quarterback in Green Bay, obviously they're a Super Bowl contender and they're the elite team in the NFC North. I do believe that the Bears, look, they've got an easier path to a better record in the postseason if Rodgers isn't there. You can pretty much chalk up a couple of W's for the Packers and a couple of L's for the Bears every time these teams get together. That's reality with Aaron Rodgers under center for them. If Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback in Green Bay, then both of those games are very winnable. So, that's a two-game swing. That could be the difference between a 9-8 team and, you know, a 10-7 or 11-16. Aaron Rodgers not being part of the Packers football team could potentially have a significant impact on who the Bears would be in 2021.
What's your prediction for the Bears right now in 2021?
9-8. I will predict them to be 9-8. The schedule looks just murderous, but we all know that can change. You don't know who's going to be healthy. You don't know what teams live up to expectations and what teams don't live up to expectations. The schedule is very difficult. They do catch a break that they're never on the road more than 1 week at a time. They go home, away throughout the entirety of the schedule. I do believe, though, that it's unfavorable on the front that they catch 6 or 7 teams coming off extended rest, which I think is a negative. Again, I think that they've got a defense that can still be really good. I think the offense can improve and be better. So I think that right now I would conservatively call them an 8-9, 9-8 team, and I'll be more optimistic than pessimistic. I'll say that they're 9-8 team.
More to come with Tom Waddle in just a moment. Stay tuned. Vincent, Sports Talk Chicago. Tom Waddle, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, two more questions before we finish up. First off, the All-Madden team. How'd you make it, and what's the story behind it?
Oh, the All-Madden team, 1991. The funny thing is, John, and I don't know the exact names of the guys, but that I played in the era of Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice and Chris Carter. Who else? I'm thinking Gary. What was Gary's name, the receiver for the Washington or the Redskins? Damn it, I forget his name. But I think it was me. It was it was maybe Chris Carter. It was Jerry Rice. It was Michael Irvin. It was someone from the Redskins and my dumbass on that list. And the truth is I think. You know, John Madden had a couple of our games that year, and I think that he was always very complimentary, and I was obviously the underdog, but I think that I sealed my fate in the Cowboy game, the loss we had to the Cowboys in the postseason, where I got destroyed, I got pounded, but had a really good game and, you know, had a concussion and don't remember the fourth quarter of the game, but John Madden and Pat Summerall did the game, and I think that kind of was – that was my moment for that year, and John decided to put me on the team. So it's crazy.
How'd you feel about it? Were you expecting that at all?
Oh, my God. Dude, I was like, what do you mean? Like to this day, it's the coolest thing I have is the All-Madden 1991 team jersey. My kids pass it around. I call them my kids. Again, they're all adults, but they pass it around and take turns wearing it. I think that's the only thing that we got from it was a sweatshirt that has – look, it's 2021. It's a 30-year-old sweatshirt. It looks like it was, you know, it was just made yesterday. It was great. I mean, it was like if any time you can be mentioned in the same name as some of the greats that are in the Hall of Fame, it was just cool, man. It was a cool honor for sure.
And Tom, before we finish up today, last question: the funniest crosstalk moment you've had is what?
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean, we've had so many great conversations with Carmen and Yurko. We just started doing a podcast, a crosstalk podcast, because our shows are separated now. And Mike Greenberg is on from 12 to 2. So we don't get a chance to see Carmen and Yurko anymore. So we started doing a podcast. And I got to tell you, the last 3 weeks, and it's kind of an unfiltered and an uncensored podcast, so it gets a little bit crazy at times. You know what? Honestly, I think my memory sucks, so going back in time, I can't remember like the old crosstalk days. But it was probably something that had to do with Yurko busting Sylvie's chops about something. But like the most recent crosstalk we did for the podcast, I felt bad after it happened. I was airing out Randy Merkin, one of our producers, because we were talking about the Cubs and what they're going to do between now and the end of the season or the trade deadline. You know, the plan has been kind of put in place by the Cubs by trading Darvish at the start of the year, and they haven't signed any of their guys to extensions. And Merkin asked me, what am I supposed to tell my 14-year-old son when they trade, you know, Chris Bryant? They said, well, be a damn man and be his dad and tell him, you know, talk to him about the, and I mean, I felt it was a funny exchange that we had yelling at each other about what the Cubs should do. And then I felt bad about giving Merkin a hard time about what he should tell his son about the potential trade of Chris Bryant. That's probably the one, you know, there are other ones about Yurko's escapades that, you know, listen, it's a family show. I wouldn't go down that road with you, but it's been one of my favorite things to do because you're in this industry. Sometimes it gets monotonous talking about who's leading off for the White Sox and, you know, who the right tackle for the Bears should be. So sometimes you just kind of careen into the world of real life. And those are the moments to me that kind of make me chuckle. So they're fun.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on and talk Bears. And best wishes for you and Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure talking to you, buddy.
Great talk there with Tom Waddle. And that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Tom Waddle himself, Matt Tubio, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluel. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Mirror the Eternal!